Today, let's talk about why people find it hard to pray. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you'll pray. If you don't believe it, why pray? If you believe that God is totally indifferent, that God has no compassion, that God is disinterested in what's going on in our world, then why would you pray? And why am I talking about it that way? Because every Tuesday I talk about prayer. This year, prayer becomes the dominant theme of the Tuesdays. Why? Why do I talk about prayer? Because prayer is the key that opens the door to your heart. Prayer is the key that opens the gates of heaven. Prayer is the umbilical cord to God's heart, between our heart and God's heart. Why? Because prayer is a heart-to-heart conversation. We don't pray to change God's mind, we pray to change our hearts. We don't pray to stop God from doing something terrible to us, we pray to be available to God to do wonderful things in and through us. But why do people find it so hard to pray? Well, here's the first reason. It's their image of God. Some people have an image of God where God is constantly nagging. God is constantly saying, you should, you should, you should, you should, you should. And this nagging, and remember, we make God into our own image and likeness, so perhaps this is what we even do. But nonetheless, as we project this image on God, then this nagging never lets up. It seems like we can never placate God. It's like we can never satisfy God. That God always wants more. He wants His pound of flesh. God. Well, see, if you have that kind of image of God, then of course you're not going to want to pray. You're going to keep God away at an arm's distance. You're going to really feel that, why pray? Because I can't satisfy God. He'll never be content with my prayer. He'll always want more, 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 more. What a far cry from the real God we have. Our God, Psalm 149 says, takes great delight in us. Our God loves us more than we love ourselves. Our God sent His only Son into the world to save us from our sins, not to condemn us. Our God is closer to us in the ear in our lungs. Our God, Psalm 56 says, stores up our tears in His bottle. And then there's that beautiful Jewish saying. It says, when we cry, God can taste the salt on our cheeks. Now, how close do you have to be to taste the salt on somebody's cheeks? So, let's be very clear about this. If you find it difficult to pray, and people find it hard to pray because we're dealing with a God that you can't see, hear, or touch, and that the way God works in our life are mysterious, and God often works very slowly, as you can see in how long the world has been in existence, and it still is far from being the kind of world that God originally created it to be. Given all those reasons, I can appreciate why you may at times find it difficult to pray. Well, you might not admit it that you find it difficult to pray. You might say things like this. Here's what I hear. I am so busy. I am so busy. I like to pray. I just can't find the time. Well, when somebody says they're so busy and they can't find the time, what they might really be saying is, I don't want to pray. They'd be embarrassed to say that. But I don't want to pray. So what you do is you pray, Lord, help me to want to want to. That in itself is a prayer. Lord, help me to want to pray. And that prayer, because it's very pleasing to God, because we're open to, you know, we're open to God working in our lives, then God can do some wonderful things in and through us. Okay. Here's the prayer. Here's today's prayer. It was a prayer written by Thomas Merton. Now, many people recognize who Thomas Merton was. He was a Trappist monk. They might know him from his book, which narrates his conversion of heart into Catholicism, called The Seven Story Mountain. His books have been an inspiration to many, many people. But nonetheless, he struggled with prayer. And what aspect of prayer? He struggled with letting go. Because most of us like to know the future. We like to have our ducks in a row. Most of us would be very, very happy if God, right now, told us every detail of what's going to happen to us for the rest of the time we're here on earth. I like this prayer. Let me go through the whole prayer first, and then I'll comment on different aspects of the prayer. The prayer of Thomas Merton. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen. Boy, you can see why I like that prayer. Boy, that captures the sentiments of so many of us, doesn't it? The fact that, you know, we don't know what the future holds. My Lord, I have no idea where I'm going. I don't see the road ahead. I cannot know for certain where it will end. We don't know. And even Mitzi hardly knows himself. We're such mysteries, aren't we? Mysteries that are constantly unfolding. We are a mystery. And then he says, the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. What's he mean by that? Because sometimes we think this is God's will for us, but we didn't have enough purity of heart, we didn't pray about it enough, we didn't ask for enough guidance from the Holy Spirit, and so we pursue something that we say, well, this must be God's will for me, but as a matter of fact, it may not be. Now here's the change in the prayer. Ready? But, so that grabs our attention right away. But, I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. It does. That's hard for us to grasp. To grasp that the very desire to please God, the desire, help me to want to, as I said, is pleasing to God. And then comes the hope. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. See, there you're moving to purity of heart. Purity of heart is having the desire always to do what God wants. And I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. Alright? That's when we become very single-minded and very single-hearted with a single loyalty. And I know if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Doesn't that sound like Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff give me comfort. Okay. Therefore, I will trust you. Stop the presses. Bingo, hold your cards, please. There's the phrase, right? I will trust you. Then he adds the word always. I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost. Seem is a critical word there, because we're never lost to God. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear. There's the connection with Monday's program. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face the perils alone. The perils, the difficulties, the challenges, the dangers, right? I like that prayer. Do you like it? written by the Trappist monk Thomas Merton, who was really in many ways a mystic, contemplative, very human though, with his human struggles. Here's a guy who by vocation committed himself to contemplative prayer, hours and hours and hours. Trappists don't talk except in rare occasions. Hours and hours and hours. He even moved out of the monastery, moved into a trailer on the edge of the monastery property so that he could take it to a deeper level. How scary is that? Hours and hours and hours of contemplative prayer. Where he was not necessarily wafted up. It wasn't like, oh boy, you know, he has this fireworks relationship with God. You know, we know enough about people like Padre Pio and Mother Teresa to know that their lives, their prayer lives are often dry and often scary, and they often felt guilty and even at times felt abandoned. So listen, you got to pray. It's non-negotiable. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Here's today's food for thought. Written by Willa Cather, the great writer. When kindness has left people, even for a few moments, we become afraid of them as if their reason has left them. Right, when we see a person no longer kind, huh? If we see all of a sudden the kindness leaving them, we get very, very concerned. Understandably so, right? Well, who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for people who volunteer at food pantries. We ask God to really bless them, help them, help them be patient with people who have different hygiene, way of life, styles of communicating, even lack civility. But you're doing a wonderful service. Dear God, bless people who work at food banks, especially volunteers. Be with them, Lord, and bless them. Today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. It's from Reader's Digest from the Dumb and Dumber section. For a while, my husband and I had opposite schedules. He worked during the day and I worked at night. One morning I noticed he left a note to himself on the kitchen counter that said stamps in large letters. As a helpful surprise, I bought him some at the post office and put them on the counter before going to work. The next morning I found the same note, stamps, was crossed out. Underneath he had written $1 million. Clever guy. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Please let me hear from you. It's a real boost to me to know that there's people listening. Send me your prayer intentions. I faithfully will storm heaven with you and for you. If you can send me a donation to keep my hospital for the poor open in Oaxaca, Mexico, make the check to TASH, Inc. and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. If you get a chance, visit my website. I think you'll like my website. It's fatherscott.com. Spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord.